You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
On August 7, 1974, Philippe Petit went where no man had gone before and where no one can ever go again. The French tightrope artist crossed a high wire linking the twin towers of the World Trade Center a quarter mile above the streets of New York. And when he crossed back over the wire, he lay down in the middle, then practically danced a jig as police waited at either end and stunned crowds watched from below. Man on Wire, a new documentary by James Marsh, retells what has been called the artistic crime of the 20th century. It opens today at Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and Landmark Sunshine Cinema, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Monsieur Petit and Mr. Marsh to the show now. Hello.
Bonjour. Merci. Hi.
Philippe, 34 years ago at 7:15 a.m., you performed for nearly 1 hour of wire dancing across the Twin Towers. Some have called it a daring stunt. Others described it as performance art. What would you call it?
I recall it to be an intimate dialogue between me and the seabirds and the curved horizon and the breathing towers. And at some point, this intimacy changed and the performance became in front of thousands of people a quarter of a mile below. So to me, it was theater. At its most unique, of course.
But you saw it as intimate, despite the fact that you were so high off the ground?
Well, there was nothing but the wire and me. That's pretty intimate.
Hmm. Well, was that the only place you could have done that? Were there no other places in the world that would have been comparable at the time?
Well, those towers were the highest in the world at the time, and prior to their building, they had called me. They had shown that one day they will be built, and the young, rebellious, self-taught wire walker that I was at 17, 18 years old could not resist acquiring this new impossible dream.
So you were self-taught. You didn't learn wire walking the way most people do as part of a circus.
Well, if you're born in a circus, then of course you almost have no choice. You will learn what your parents impose for you to learn, and fortunately I was not born in a circus. Therefore, I had to learn by myself. Some circus people tried to taught me, and I said, no, teach me how to put the wire, but not how to walk.
But that would mean that you probably didn't have the greatest technique in the world. Didn't that make it a little scarier?
No, I had the best technique in the world. It's the one that is acquired with naivete and with romanticism and with a poetic stand. When I look at how I learned, it was ridiculous. It was the worst way to learn how to walk on a tightrope. At the same time, it was the best because to have no teacher is the best school.
Do you remember what thoughts passed your mind when you took that first step onto the wire?
Yes, the common denominator was joy, but a very pure, a very profound joy in some sort of elation because I had been dreaming of that moment for 6.5 years and I had been toiling on it for 8 months in New York. Finally, I was holding this balancing pole and carrying my life across, not chancing it. So I was living at the fullest, and that's rare on Earth.
And were you pretty sure that everything was going to be okay?
No, I was not pretty sure. I was absolutely certain. And I will never, and to this day, I continue to walk the wire. I will never do that first step if I were not sure to do the victorious last one.
Is that old adage, you just don't look down? Does that really hold true?
No, it's a legend. I don't know how it was created, probably by people who are afraid of heights. But if you climb a tree out of pleasure and you're a kid, you're going to look down because a spectacle is magnificent.
James, it occurred 34 years ago. Why a film about it now?
Well, I think the timing was, I guess, fortunate for me that I read Philippe's book, To Reach the Clouds, which he wrote, I think, in 2002. I read it a couple of years ago. It was brought to my attention by a producer in London. And for me, it was just a kind of, it's a universal story that is both, you know, it's specific to its time, but also timeless. It's like a fairy tale in many ways. And it's, you know, someone doing something that seems to be impossible and pulling it off. So it's very inspiring, and it, as I said, I think it's universal and timeless, and so I was lucky enough to persuade Philippe to allow me to try and tell his story.
Were you old enough at the time to even be aware of what was happening? Was this a big story in England?
It was a big story. I was probably too young to be aware of it at the time. I've lived in New York for the last 14 years and became aware of it by living in the city like many other people here. It's a kind of folk memory, a story that people tell each other about, you know, this amazing thing that happened. So I knew about it that way, as a sort of folk memory.
New York is a big leap from Cornwall, England. It's not like coming over from London, which feels slow compared to New York.
Well, I sort of went to London first, so I got my bearings in London, then came to New York. I think in somewhat the same spirit that Philippe and some of the people involved with his adventure did, that I came in the late 80s, and it was just a city of sort of anarchy and energy and an endless possibility for me.
Hasn't Philippe called himself rather mad and possessed? Did that make it more difficult to work with him?
No, it's passion is the thing that you most want to work with. Passion and strong ideas and strong opinions. And not at all, quite the opposite. The best collaborators, the best people to work with are ones that will provoke you and provoke a reaction in you and vice versa.
Philippe, you called it the clandestine walk because you had to keep it a secret operation. How long did the planning take?
I called it le coup in French, you know, the heist almost, the bank robbery. And
Were you living in New York at the time?
No, I was living in Paris when I saw the towers being built from Paris. And one day I realized they were about to be finished, so I ran to New York. And I disguised myself as a construction worker, and I spent literally 8 months in and out, two or three trips to America, to spy on the towers, to do my homework, to get to know them. I knew them pretty well already as they were being built.
So you actually got into the building before it was officially opened.
Oh, yes. I sneak in the building hundreds of times, adopting different disguise.
And what floor were you going to cross from?
Oh, no floors, the roof.
Mm-hmm. The roof at the time, but it was not completed. The building was
The building was structurally completed. The 110th floor, the roof existed, but they were finishing the upper floors, which allowed me to sneak as a construction worker, as a delivery man, as a journalist and architect, you know, adopting different disguise and completing my homework.
Because you had to sneak a lot of equipment up there. So
yes.
You did it piecemeal?
Almost a ton of equipment, yes, and on both towers, of course.
And then how did you get the wire across?
This was among the group of my accomplices. There was a big game of who would come up with the ideal system. It had to be silent. It had to be sure. It was to be done crawling on the floor in total darkness. So one of my friends thought of a bow and arrow. I thought it was a ridiculous idea. But then he practiced and he showed me the result of his practice. Part of it is in the film. Actually, it's incredible. There's some actual footage of us rehearsing in France. And then that's how we didn't pass the cable like that, but we passed a fishing line across. And you can imagine all night we were pulling heavier and heavier rope until the very heavy steel cable walked across.
So you had to go up on both buildings?
Well, no, I was on one side and I had a group of accomplices on the other. We had two teams.
And James, you have some of those co-conspirators in the film as well. How did you get that footage? Was that something that Philippe had, or is there an archive out there that you go to find all the Philippe Petit stuff in?
No, Philippe had carefully documented his walk in Australia, which you also see in the film, and the beginnings of the preparation for the World Trade Center walk, which he then quickly abandoned for reasons I'm sure he can explain. But the footage exists of Philippe and his French co-conspirators, because that's really what they are.
Because this was an illegal act, too.
That's the whole film and the whole walk is framed by the fact that it's not legal. It's absolutely, completely illegal. You can't just walk into the Twin Towers and put a wire up. So what we have in the film is essentially, it's like a heist film. You have a criminal conspiracy that lasts 8 months where people fall away and join and fall away again. And the film, you know, is very much focused on the process by which this happens. This, you know, they had to break into both towers with lots of equipment.
Well, when Philippe had done earlier walks, because you'd done a few, Philippe, hadn't you?
Yes.
Were they also illegal?
Most of them, yes.
The one in Australia?
Well, yeah, the one in between the towers of Notre Dame was the first giant illegal walk. I had done a few obscure ones before that. And then a quick little passing story in Australia between the pylons of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Were you put in jail for those activities?
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
So you have a jail record. You have a prison.
I have been arrested more than 500 times, but I stopped counting at some point, mostly for street juggling and mostly for putting a high wire illegally somewhere.
Street juggling was the other activity. That's the way you kind of made money?
No, that's the way I lived. That's the way I started as a young artist, around 16 years old. And that's how I supported myself. And I actually passed my hat in Manhattan to support Le Coup, you know, the heist.
James, when he was finally arrested, what was the charge?
I think it was trespassing. Was it trespassing?
Oh, it was a long list. It was pretty frightening. I could have ended in jail for a long time. Disorderly conduct, criminal trespass, not answering the order of the police. A lot of things, and they dropped it when I agreed to do a performance as a sentence of the court.
Now, when you see other people do things like climb up the New York Times building, do you think, oh, they're just ripping me off?
No, absolutely not. It's another world, the world of stuntmen and the world of people who demonstrate either their strength or their stamina. It's it will interest me if it will involve human personality and human drama and theater, but to see somebody climbing 9 peaks within 7 hours and being the new record holder totally uninterest me.
You've said that you have lots of fears, that you fear big dogs who bare their teeth and centipedes and tarantulas. Now, why those and not walking a quarter of a mile across the World Trade Towers? Because it's not just the height. I would imagine the winds up there must have been fierce.
Why do you fear something? It's because you do not know it, and you do not know it because you decide not to investigate it. I decided to investigate the high wire. I decided to know everything there is to know about the high wire. Thus, I am not afraid of walking on a high wire that I rigged myself, and I know my limits, I know the weather, I know the wire, but I don't know the tarantulas and the snake and the dogs that maybe will bite me.
And are the winds really scary up there?
Well, actually, it was a festival of winds. It's called turbulences, and nobody can control or even understand turbulence. They dance around you. So I had to be protected by the gods, and I was.
James, I understand that Philippe has turned many offers for films down and books and plays as well. How did you convince him to work with you?
Well, simply by offering to collaborate with him and offering to share the means of production, the process of making the film with him. We didn't always agree on everything we did in the film, but I think it was very important to him to know that he was going to have an influence and a role to play in the telling of what is essentially his story. He's the protagonist of this story. It's his idea, it's his dream, it's the much of the planning comes from his imagination. So I think that was the key word, was the invitation to collaborate, to listen.
Of course, it has a lot more significance today because of what happened to the towers. And the film, to some degree, reminds us that we had this thing in New York and something like this could be done with it.
It's the big fact that we don't make explicit in the film that everyone's going to bring to it to a lesser or greater degree. And it seemed to me that one of the reasons that I enjoyed making the film so much was I was creating or maybe recreating a world that we'd kind of lost to some extent in New York itself. And everything has changed now. And even coming to this building today, you know, we're showing our driving licenses and forms of ID and taking our trousers down and on and on. And it just feels like it was a reminder of some of the things we've lost as well. And even though we don't make any reference to the destruction of the towers, I don't think we needed to, and it was a very easy choice to make.
You also use music to build suspense, and you have music by Michael Nyman, who's done some fabulous film scores in the past. Had you worked with him before?
No, we used Michael's existing back catalog. Oh. He left it kind of open for me to investigate and advised and guided me to some extent as well. But the score is very big and monumental. Like, the experience itself is, I think, a big screen experience for people.
Now, Philippe, we've run out of time, but you were also artist in residence at St. John the Divine for a time. What are you doing these days?
Yes, I am still a kind of modern Quasimodo. I have my offices, my archives, even a practice choir at the Cathedral St. John the Divine, which is my spiritual home. And it's a wonderful inspiration.
newly cleaned up as well.
Yes, yes. Everybody should go and see this newly appearing monument, because after a fire a few years ago, it had a robe of soot, and now it looks like it was built yesterday. So it's the most fascinating cathedral in the world and still the largest Gothic cathedral and unfinished.
In the United States. Is it the largest Gothic cathedral in the
world?
In
the world, yes.
Ah. Well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Philippe Petit, who is the Wire Walker star of James Marsh's documentary, Man on Wire, which opens at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and Landmark Sunshine Cinema. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.